Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oh, my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, not only to be our guide, but to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this thy word. And may he speak, Father, so that the words are not mine, but his, and that will work to give us greater understanding of the word we study this evening. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be Matthew chapter 22. And once again, Jesus is going to be speaking with a parable, starting off right here in the first of this chapter. Verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. All right, we're going to stop there for just a second, because we know he's speaking in a parable here, but the king is the Father, our heavenly Father. We know that Jesus is the Son. And all of mankind has been called to join the marriage supper with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, that is something that is yet to take place. He's using this parable about those that were bidden. But we are the ones that are called. But most will not heed and accept that calling. They just won't do it. They're not going to hear to it. Now, but he goes on here to the fourth verse. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings were killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Five. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Let you and I kind of see things around us, don't we? Because those that are rejecting his call, they want to go their own way, whatever that way is. And we know that it is probably the ways of the world which is going to lead them into sin. But regardless, as long as it's keeping them away from the Lord Jesus, their soul is at risk of hell in that lake of fire. Now, six. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. They even killed some of them. And that's going on in places today around the world, in different places. That has happened to some of his people. Now, seven. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Regardless of what we think, we're not going to get away of committing sin and staying away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can mock him, reject him, do whatever you want to do. But there will be a time you will pay the price for it. Now, eight. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Nine. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Now you see, Jesus is also speaking this to his own people, the Jewish people, to Israel. But he's also letting them know that those that would not be ready and would not come in, what was going to happen to them. But then on top of that, he's sending now into the highways and the byways, and he's letting them know that others will be coming in, and that is the Gentile people. You know, he told them plainly once in his teaching that they wouldn't accept him, but that the Gentiles would. And we know that there came that time to where the Gentiles were brought in. And Paul was one of the main ones called to lead them in. Now, here in 10, he says, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. You see, there are some that he is going to accept and follow that bidding as they call into the Lord Jesus. Now, here in 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. So you got one in there that shouldn't be. And with what he's talking about here, that one is a sin. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He couldn't say anything. And there is many one going to stand before the Lord Jesus that's going to find themselves in the same way when they step out this life and into the next. There'll be a lot of them that will be speechless. And there be some that will proclaim, well, Lord, I've done this and I've done that, I've done this, but yet did not get right. And he tells us here what's going to happen. Here in 13, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We've heard that statement before, haven't we? And we will hear it some more. Because you see, when we are sent to our punishment, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be really horrible because of the pain of it. And you know, we've got no one to blame except ourselves. The Lord made it so easy. And yet, most still do not want to follow the Word of God and do the things they are supposed to do in order to make heaven their home instead of hell. And that lake of fire. 14. For many are called. You've heard me talk about being called many, many times, and you'll hear many more. Many are called, but few are chosen. Because you see, all of us, all of mankind has been called or will be called before they step out of this life. But most, because of so much arrogance and pride and selfishness, they will not accept it. And they'll continue with their own selfish ways and rejecting the Lord Jesus. And the only way we can get to heaven is through him. There is no other way. Now we know they are those out here that tells us they are other ways. We've got them that is teaching and believing in Buddha. Mormonism. All kinds of isms out there. But unless they go through the Lord Jesus Christ and become that child of the living God, they're going to miss out on making heaven their home. And all these others that are trying to lead people down these other roadways, you don't see the work of Almighty God at work within them at all. Not at all. That alone should let people know to leave them alone. Now, 15. It says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. We get a lot of that, don't we? In talking with others, we find where they want to entangle our words, tangle us up. But you see, as long as you're walking with the Lord God and you're staying in his word, you don't have to worry about that. Because you answer them with the word of God. Now, 16. And they went out, they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. You see, they took a statement that's in the Bible and took away from it and added to it and made a lie out of it. When they use that neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. You see, that's not so. We are told that he makes no difference between man. And that is true. Because we've all been called, and if we all don't choose to walk with him, we'll all go to hell, no matter who we are. But if we choose him for our lives and walk with him and in his word, then we will make heaven our home. But you see, this is what is happening today in a lot of our churches today. Misusing a lot of the scripture. Now, 17. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? You see, anything they can think of to try to get him to make some kind of word or statement that they can really use against him. But you think after as many times as they tried it, even up to this point, that they'd get the idea we're not smart enough for this. But they don't. They just continue trying. 18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? You see, he calls it just like it is. Why tempt you me, you hypocrite? 19. Show me the tribute money. That's what Jesus is telling them. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is this image and subscription? Now, he's asked about that. Then they say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. He's letting them know. And he's not pulling any punches or making it hard to understand. Now here in 22. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him, and went their way. But you see, his disciples are seeing, hearing all this too. Now he's wanting them to really know the truth and the straight of things. In 23, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. You've heard me tell you all that before also. You see, the Sadducees did not believe in any resurrection at all. And ask him, because they're out for him too, saying, Master, Moses said if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There was a time back in the Old Testament times when that was true. And a brother, if his brother passed away and had no children, then he would take his brother's wife and raise up some children. Now, 25. Now there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. 26. Likewise, the second also, and the third, unto the seventh. Each one of them is what they're claiming, ended up having this same woman. In 27. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Yeah, here's Jesus' answer to that. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. And you'll know one another, but you're not there married. 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Because you see, child of God, when we walk with God, in fact, in this day and time, all that are living, it's not going to die as what people think death is. Most are looking at death as though once you leave this life, you're just gone. You don't exist anymore. That's not true. Your body, this flesh, this house in which we live, and that's what the scripture calls it, this house, it will go back to the dirt from whence it came. But that spirit is going to step on into eternity. and it will stand before the Lord God Almighty. And I can tell you that for certain. Now, but we ain't going to get into that right now. Now, Verse 33. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished. Now I wanna make a statement here with all of you that's on with me. People will ask you, what doctrine does your church teach? What doctrine are you? They're wanting to know if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever. You tell them that your church's doctrine is the Holy Word of God. Because that is the doctrine you and I are told to obey and keep. We're not to keep any other doctrine nowhere. Now, you know, people just don't stop and think. About what they are really up to, and they don't bring the Lord into it at all. And you and I, as the children of God, we are to constantly be talking to everyone about the Word of God, this gospel, and about the Lord Jesus Christ, letting them know how for them to make heaven their home, what it takes for them to be one to enter in to the kingdom of God. And we are told and there are several good places to where gives us everything that we need in order to become that child of the living God. But you see, we have to be born again. That's something we have to do. Because without being born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. Most will tell you, oh, no, you don't have to be. But yes, you do. And we've got a lot of our churches out there teaching that, though, that you don't. But you know, all they had to do is go back to the Gospel of John and the 3rd chapter. He tells us there, beginning in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't put it no plain. That's just as plain as anyone needs. And he goes on, because Nicodemus didn't understand it. That's who he was talking to. But you can drop on down to verse 5, when Nicodemus asked him, how can that be? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ don't play games. And the word means exactly what it says. Now, there's a lot of them out there that don't take it that way. And they'll find out when they stand before the Lord God, they may be a good person. May be one of the very best. But until they have done what they were told to do, and the reason and understand it, it won't do them any good. That's why we need to keep stressing it. Now, 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Now, they believed in the resurrection. But you see, they wasn't believing in him either. Because at this time, they are still under the Mosaic law. And they're doing everything they can to either get him under the law or to get rid of him. And we know what happens there. We'll be getting into that a little later on, but still, we all do know. 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, you know, I guess he thought Jesus didn't know the law, because they wasn't understanding that he was part of the one giving it. 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is your two first commandments and the two great ones right there. 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He wasn't the son of David, no. We know he was the son of God. But he does have some of the blood of the line of David, because he got that from his mother. But we all know that God was his father. Now, he saith unto them, how then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? Jesus, he has these ways of answering everything. Now, 46. And no man was able to answer him a word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. They know now that they can't get him that way, so now they have quit asking him any more of their silly old questions. So, now, when this phone stops, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. That's the house phone. I'm going to have it taken out. I don't use it that much anyway. And they're doing this quite a bit anymore, coming in knowing that I am teaching. And they're still just, and if it's not answered, they just keep the call. So I'm going to have it taken out. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times that we come together to learn more of your word, to help us to walk greater with you, serving you. Because, Father, I don't want to serve mankind. Only you. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, may the Holy Spirit keep them in health, them safe, and see to their needs. Israel and Jerusalem, Father, we pray for them to have peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours that has gotten so evil, it's turned its back on you, on the Lord Jesus, on the church. Father, we're losing churches every day, and we're losing people. Now, Father, I pray for this land, and I pray that the evil we have in our government and in our churches will be removed and replaced by those that jewels, that walk in righteousness, that will work with you and with us to bring this land to repentance and put it back upon the foundation the rich father of the family, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those that are part of this ministry. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Bobby, Millie Johnson, Amy, Tom, and Jacob, and myself, Father, and all of our families. And may the Holy Spirit work with our families, Father, because we all have members that are walking in darkness. And may he work with them to bring them out of darkness and into light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost, and all will be making heaven their home. Now, Father, be with us through this evening and through the night, keeping us ever according to your will and your way, and bring us back together again in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m., and back into your word. This is my prayer tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. I pray you'll have a good night. And hope to see you in the morning. Good night, all.